During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, coming to you straight out of the Rally House Studios. We're brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North, I-29, and Tiffany Springs, the home of the biggest selection of Harley Davidson motorcycles. Rick Worth and his crew, absolutely fantastic. They'll get you on the bike of your dreams today. And if you've got anything with a title, they want to trade for it. That's boat, that's bike, that's car, that's trailer. If it's got a title, they'll trade for it. Go see him, Worth Harley Davidson North. We talk some college football right now. We turn to Bill Bender from Sporting News. National college football writer, has been covering the Ohio State story as well as all of college football. We'll start with Ohio State. Bill's on our Sprint guest line. Bill, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. I appreciate the time. And where are we now with this Ohio State story? You wrote a very interesting piece because everyone would assume that this would be creating all kinds of problems for them on the recruiting trail. But at least right now, they're not suffering at all when it comes to commitment from kids. Is that right?
Right. And I think we're in this wait-and-see period where, as you saw the president's comments in the interview last night with WOSU, that this could actually stretch into next week. And I would say, I know we're all anxious for this to be resolved, but they have to get it right, and they have to get it right on a lot of levels. It's not just about Urban Meyer. It's about, you know, the athletic department of the school. The back and forth between Zach Smith and Courtney Smith through the media has been something I've never quite covered anything like it, guys. So it's kind of hard to, you know, grasp the entire picture. I still think this ends with him being suspended and he stays there. But, I mean, my opinion on that changes with each day. I kind of like with the temperature.
The longer he's there, does that lean more towards Urban Meyer stays or Urban Meyer goes?
I still think it stays because I kind of made the point to an editor today. I said, if they were going to fire him, they would have probably done it by now, right? Unless they're digging that hard to try to fire him with cause. And that's the big question here. So it really boils down to, I think most of it boils down to 2015, the incident. What did Meyer know? Did he report it properly? Did Gene Smith report it properly? But then again, you know, you ask all those questions, and then you're asking yourself, well, then why was Zach Smith still on the staff for the next 3 years? I mean, he probably, I think the workaround this would have been had Zach Smith been placed on leave after that. I don't know that this is even a story. And that's the mind-boggling part about it, that yeah, I was there at Big Ten Media Day when this kind of started, and where it is from where it was, it's staggering, really, guys.
Hey, shouldn't at some point, if he did report this incident to Gene Smith, shouldn't at some point this thing pivot and be about Gene Smith and his job?
Yeah, I think that's open to discussion as well. I mean, Gene Smith, the only opportunity, I was there the first day of closed practice, so there was a group of reporters sitting in the parking lot at the Woody Hayes Athletic Complex, and as you guys can see from my bio, I'm based in Central Ohio. I'm born here and, you know, been around Buckeye football for quite a bit. But he didn't answer questions. He declined to, and then that was the same afternoon that Urban Meyer released the statement that Zach Smith had the sports interview or Sports Center interview, which I thought that interview was just not helpful for Urban Meyer in any way. But that's where we're at. And again, it's kind of taking on that soap opera feel. You're hearing people, you know, reference Jerry Springer and all those kind of things. And for the modern day coaching, it's kind of similar in some ways to Tennessee's coaching search, except we're dealing with a very serious issue here.
I think it's easy to say, it's very apparent to me. I mean, I saw Urban Meyer just like roughly a week before, maybe even days before, and interviewed him at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, the celebrity golf tournament that he was out and played in. And I chatted with him for about 5 minutes. You're not going and doing that if you think your job's about ready to be on the line, right? I mean, it's safe to say Urban Meyer had no idea, either through arrogance of I'm untouchable, it doesn't matter what I do, or he truly does believe he did everything he needed to do. But Urban Meyer had no idea this was going to be what it is right now, correct?
No, and I think that's what we need to find out. I mean, McMurphy's reporting's pretty extensive and thorough, in my opinion. I think, you know, he's a national writer, does a nice job. And then I remember being there, like I said, and Urban was questioned at length about the incident in 15. And I think he had 90 minutes basically to confront this thing. And I do have a hard time believing that coaches that are that detail-oriented, that know just about every little thing about their program, would be that blindsided. And he copped to that. But again, he said he did everything right. And I think my question that still stands, if you knew Zach Smith had – at minimum allegations against him, and you know the cops called on him multiple times, how was that not addressed behind closed doors, or how was it addressed? And I think that gets to the heart of what this investigation needs to show, because if it doesn't, I don't know how you guys feel being where you are in that part of the country. I feel like outside of the Central Ohio bubble, if he's not suspended or punished in some way, that the skepticism around this program will be even more than it is now.
Yeah, and that is, you know, I think that's where the university, and you mentioned, you said, well, they're either trying to figure out a way to fire him with cause, garner enough information to fire him with cause, because I think there's, what, like 38 million? Is that the number that's still out that they would be on the hook for if they just fired him without cause?
Yeah, and I've tried to look at this from both angles. So you look at it from Ohio State's angle, and President Davis and the university, and you know, if they're not trying to, they're trying to find a way, they're either trying to fire him with cause or find a plausible way to keep him, because they are going to get a blowback if they do from the national writers and such. And then from Urban's angle, you're thinking, 38 million. I don't know any human being that's walking away with leaving that on the table on the planet.
No.
And then number two, if he's somehow fired with cause, I mean, his coach, that's one of the top 10, at least, maybe top five college football coaches of all time, and, you know, kind of fighting for his career. So I don't see that him doing that without a fight, and that's clearly where we're at right now.
Yeah, and it would open up one of the top jobs in college football. Two more questions about Ohio State, and then we'll just kind of talk about college football in general. Number one, is Matt Campbell where they would look to go next year if they do indeed at some point take Urban Meyer out as head coach?
I think Bob Stoops would be a name that would come up, being an Ohio guy. And, you know, I know, like I said, growing up here, that tag matters. Matt Campbell is born in Ohio as well. I think Mike Vrabel would be a candidate, even though he's with the Titans, and a couple others. But yeah, I think the important thing to remember through this whole thing, and it's been noted by everybody that, you know, from Woody Hayes through John Cooper through Jim Tressel, you know, Ohio State isn't above getting rid of Hall of Fame coaches. But the flip side of that to me is I'm almost 40 years old. Ohio State's won football games my entire life. The next guy's going to win football games too. It's just that Urban Meyer did that a little bit better than everybody since Woody, and that's why I think this is such a pivotal investigation. It has to get it right.
All right, and last question. We're talking to Bill Bender from the Sporting News, their national college football writer. What does this do to Ohio State? They're one of the top five teams in the country by most polls that are out there, which puts them in a position where they're one of the handful of teams that can actually have a loss and still find their way into the playoffs. But what does this do? Will this be a distraction? Will this wreck a season that is considered to be one that has them in position to win a national championship?
Well, I think that depends on the results. I mean, they haven't lost any games yet. I don't think Ohio State's going to lose its first two games, no matter who coaches. But I think as that wears on a team, you know, we don't know because the media hasn't been let in. I think that's on some level fair that 19 to 22-year-old kids don't have to answer these questions about the coaches. But, you know, it starts to wear on you, I would assume, after a while. So, again, once there's a resolution, which I would anticipate, if not today, which there's been rumors of that, but I think by sometime next week that these guys will know what the score is before they play Oregon State on September 1st.
Can Michigan or Penn State take them down? Is Wisconsin good enough on the other side to get the job done?
Well, you got their Michigan State in there too.
Yeah,
I think all four of those teams are good enough to win the Big Ten. Michigan, I've been telling people all summer, I wish I could cheat and watch Shea Patterson for a quarter, because I think that was a missing piece last year. Yeah, they're going to be really good. Penn State, I think Trace McSorley is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and they're almost being undervalued. Michigan State's got a ton of talent, and this is Wisconsin's best skill position team I've ever seen. So any one of those five teams can win the conference and win the playoff, or get to the playoff. The thing I'm wondering is, can they get through the season without two losses? Because that's kind of been the shortest way out of the playoff, is to lose two games. And when you got to play each other like that, the losses are going to pile up.
Is it possible Penn State's overrated? I mean, McSorley was very good, but he lost his offensive coordinator. There are a lot of people saying, oh, that's going to be big. Do you buy into that?
No. I went over there in June and talked to him and Ricky Ronnie, the new offensive coordinator, and James Franklin about just that. And I think this is a confident team. These are a lot of the guys that were kind of Franklin's first real class. And I think they've got strong senior leadership. Miles Sanders is a guy. He's not Saquon Barkley, but he's going to be good. Juwan Johnson's going to be a very good receiver. But they have Ohio State and Michigan State at home. That helps when you haven't lost a home game for 2 years to have your toughest game at home. So, I think they're right in that conversation. And the thing that all of those teams have – that good college football teams have is, you know, they've got their quarterback figured out and they've got loaded defensive lines. I mean, these are some of the best defensive lines in the country when you're talking about Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Maybe not as good as Clemson's, but nobody has a better offensive defensive line than Clemson right now.
How long for Scott Frost before he has Nebraska knocking on the door of a conference title?
Well, so this, I talked all about Urban Meyer at Big Ten Media Day. I think Scott Frost was probably the most impressive coach of any of the media days I went to. I think he's got a plan. He's very direct. You know, he won there as a player. He knows the standard. I think he was able, you know, he was able to be part of a staff that recruited well at Oregon. He flipped UCF from winless to undefeated and claiming national titles in 2 years. So anybody that thinks that he can't recruit at Nebraska, I think they're off the rocker. And, you know, there'll be some bumps this year. I think a good way to look at Scott Frost is to kind of look at what Harbaugh's doing at Michigan. There'll be some bumps along the way, but they're going to win, and it'll be interesting to see how long it takes. The advantage for them is that division's not quite as strong as the Big Ten East, so they could be competing with Wisconsin sooner rather than later.
I don't know how excited Nebraska fans are for Scott Frost. Let's go outside the Big Ten. Is there any chance that Alabama's overrated when you bring only – the three starters back on defense, that we're just hanging our hat on the fact that Alabama always replaces them and perhaps they're a little bit overrated by being number one? I'm not saying they should be 15 or anything, but, you know, behind Clemson's defensive line and 15 starters that are coming back, plus depth at quarterback, Georgia's depth at quarterback, and all the starters they've got. I've got an AP vote, and I've got it Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. So I do think Alabama's a little bit overrated. Do you?
No, because I know that they'll be able to figure that out on defense with their early season schedule. If Tua Tagovailoa takes control of the quarterback job, which I think he will, then I think all those young offensive playmakers they had making plays in the title game are going to really be exciting. This could be their most exciting offense. I mean, I'm not disregarding what you said. I know they have to replace all those guys. Got two new coordinators as well, which he's been able to do that seamlessly in most instances. I do think if I were to vote somebody over him, it would probably be Clemson, because I think Clemson is, if I've been saying this all summer too, if I had to just pick one team to go to the playoff, just one, you got to get one right, I would pick Clemson. I like their schedule, their team. They're fully capable of winning it all again.
What are your thoughts? Let me ask you about our local teams, Missouri Tigers. 7.5 was their over-under that was posted early in Vegas. I've seen it moved down to 6.5. What kind of team do you think Odom's got this year at Missouri?
Oh, I mean, you know, built off last year. Drew Locke, I got to spend some time around him at SEC Media Days. I think that's a guy obviously generating a lot of excitement. You want to see how that works with Dooley in the offense. It seems like Dooley's doing pretty well with recruiting anyway. But I think, you know, the key for them this year in particular is to take advantage of an opportunity, because Tennessee and Florida are making transitions. Kentucky's been who they are. I mean, you can't lose to Vanderbilt. You can't lose to Kentucky. You got to beat Tennessee. Take care of your non-league games. And then, you know what, take a swing at Georgia. Obviously, there were a ton of points scored when they played last year. Georgia's got to replace a lot of leadership. And I think if Drew Locke plays his best ball, they could be an interesting sleeper. But again, you can't have the start like they did last year. You got to put together a full season. But yeah, I mean, Barry Odom, back half of last year, that was an exciting team to watch as anybody.
We're talking right now to Bill Bender from Sporting News, national college football writer. Let's go to the Big 12. Is OU again a national title contender, or is way too much being expected from Murray in replacing the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one overall pick in the draft?
Well, here's the thing with college football is, I mean, it's a default setting to pick Oklahoma to win the Big 12, but why wouldn't you pick Oklahoma to win the Big 12? They've lost three Big 12 games in 3 years. I think Kyler Murray will put up numbers. Rodney Anderson will have a big year, and they have the most talent on defense every year in the conference. So I know a lot of people are hyped up about West Virginia, and they should be because that offense will be fun with Will Grier and a couple thousand-yard receivers. But, yeah, you still got to beat Oklahoma. You still got to beat Oklahoma at home on Black Friday and then do it again in the Big 12 championship game if you're the Mountaineers or TCU or Texas or whoever. So to me, just the easiest route to do it is pick Oklahoma and have somebody else prove you wrong.
And listen, and I'm going to quote the over-unders again, and it's not about bets in Vegas, except for if you're me going there in August, right? But six wins, it does give us an idea of what at least guys that are their livelihood rides on being somewhat accurate on what a team's going to do. They've got six for the K-State Wildcats. Bill Snyder signs on for a five-year extension. He's got a returning quarterback. He's got a veteran offensive line. He does have a number of guys he's got to replace on defense, but is college football sleeping on Bill Snyder and a team that he may be ready to make a run at 10 wins with?
No, I think the contract's huge, right? So that shows that, you know, there's some stability there, and Bill Snyder has no plan on retiring. I think that Mississippi State game early in the season is huge for both of those teams because I do think the winner of that game could go on to 8, 9, 10 win season. And, you know, Kansas State, same deal. You know, you got to go through the Oklahomas, the Texases, and try to be more consistent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But, yeah, Bill Snyder's a good coach, and I think that'll be that. I would tell you, if I was in Vegas right now, I'd tell you I'd take the over.
Yeah, I plan on it. I'm going to ride with Bill Snyder, although it makes me damn nervous that they're not giving him more credit than that because I do give credit to the folks in Vegas for the numbers that they'll put up there. But, I'm that's good because I was going to go the over, so at least you're on my side. Bill, time for my Final Four. It's brought to you by Mosquito Squad. KansasCity.MosquitoSquad.com is where you should go if you're looking to rid your yard from the bugs that bite, to protect your family, friends, and pets from the mosquitoes. 877-MO-SQUAD or online at KansasCity.MosquitoSquad.com. First of all, I'll ask you this. The Big Ten champ will be who this year?
With Ohio State. But can I cheat and say the Ohio State-Michigan winner, whoever wins that game is going to win the Big Ten?
Yeah, I'll put a note down.
Get an asterisk.
Yeah. I'll put that down with it. All right, who has the best chance to win a national championship not named Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, or Alabama?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I guess I would go with Michigan. I think so. Or I think that lines up that if they were to beat Ohio State, that team has enough on defense. And if that would mean that they Shea Patterson was the answer they need. If it's not Michigan, I'd probably say Penn State. So, I mean, I know I'm cheating with all these Big Ten East teams and kind of waffling, but I think those are the best challengers. The fact you threw Georgia in there threw me off because I was going to say Georgia when you started talking.
Right. All right, Heisman Trophy winner is who? It's basically been someone who comes from off the pack each of the last few years. Who do you think it is this year?
Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
I think the hype is real. I think he takes control of that starting job. I think they put up big numbers. And if it's not him, if it was way off the radar, I mean, I would keep an eye on Trevor Lawrence if he wins the job at Clemson.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. And final question. What's your national championship game, right? There's a lot of injuries to go, but what's your gut tell you? Who beats who in the national championship game?
I'm going to go, I mean, same old movie. I mean, they made Rocky IV was good. I'll start there. I like that movie. A lot of people don't, but this is my way of telling you Clemson-Alabama IV is coming. I think Alabama wins that one, and we worry about the parity in college football. But, guys, you got to be able to win two playoff games. Teams have to have enough depth to do it twice in 10 days against the best teams in the country, and I think those are the most loaded teams in the country right there.
Yeah, but, you know, there's certainly not the The rantings of a madman, to pick that again, there's no doubt. Bill, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for giving us some time today, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again in the future.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, you bet. Bill Bender from Sporting News, their national college football writer. We will take a break. We will come back. Stump the Chump's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll give you some things you need to know, in addition to a little bit more on the Chiefs and Falcons tonight. What we're looking for out of that game, that's coming up next here in the program.